Welcome to Heartland Truly Moving Pictures podcast. Today we bring you an interview with John Cameron Mitchell, director of the Truly Moving Picture Award winner, Rabbit Hole. Speaking with him today is Tim Irwin, who heads up the Truly Moving Picture Award program.
Hi, John. This is Tim Irwin with Heartland Truly Moving Pictures. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with us. We are a not-for-profit arts organization that celebrates and honors films that educate, inspire, and engage audiences. We have the Truly Moving Picture Award, which is an honor we bestow on films that artistically express the human journey with hope and respect for the positive values of life. And Rabbit Hole is our most recent winner, so congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Well, we appreciate your time today. Just have a few questions for you. If you could maybe begin with just a brief overview of the film and your role as director.
Yes, Rabbit Hole is based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning play of the same name. Also adapted by the playwright David Lindsay Abair, and it concerns a couple played by Nicole Kidman and Aaron Eckhart who have lost a child to an accident 8 months before, and we catch them right at the point where it's a turning point. Are they going to make it? You know, are they going to make it as human beings? Are they going to move on into, you know, out of the rabbit hole into the daylight? Are they going to make it as a couple? And they, at those point, at the point that we find them, they have these unexpected encounters with people who actually help them out of the abyss. And it's a film that we, you know, we're inspired by films of our youth that moved us in the same way, like Ordinary People, you know, that have a kind of touchstone feeling. At least it has a touchstone feeling for us of a film that is honest, that is subtle, is not ramming anything down your throat, and it's letting the performances do much of the work.
Wow, yeah, that definitely was true in the film. I thought it was one of the best films I've seen this year, simply because you let the material and the actors do their work. What was it like working with David Lindsay Abair, who he wrote the screenplay as well, did he not?
Yes, he adapted his own play, which is very affecting, but I think the screenplay is 50% better. You know, you see many scenes that are only hinted at in the play. You see this possible affair, you know, with a character played by Sandra Oh, which is very important to the plot. You see the group therapy scenes where they let off steam. You see Nicole stalking this young man who seems to have something to do with the accident and ultimately gives her this kind of hope and comfort. You see others. Him trying to sell the Aaron Eckhart trying to sell the house to a couple and letting slip that the child has died. There is a great deal of humor that is actually not in the play that David's drawn out. I mean, a kind of levity and hilarity that is necessary in times of grief that I definitely tried to milk, because you're going to a dark place and shades of light are very much part of this process.
Wow. How did you get involved? Was there some connection you had to the story or to the play itself?
You know, the screenplay is how I first came in contact with it. And I knew they were looking for someone. My agent called my attention to it, and I was just so moved by the story. It rang true for me in a lot of ways, just purely aesthetically, but also because I lost a brother when I was a teenager in the 70s, and we weren't allowed to talk about our feelings at that time. There were no therapists. We had religion, but it wasn't enough for me. And a lot of it determined our futures, you know, each member of my family, in a very strong way. And this felt like an opportunity to revisit unfinished emotional business for me, and it really worked. You know, Nicole's character going through certain things allowed me to have a kind of catharsis on the other side of camera. It felt very necessary to make this film rather than just desirable. And I was very grateful to her that she trusted me. You know, I expressed this to her in a single conversation on the phone, and she just heard me and went on instinct and said, "You're the guy."
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, that there is something different about this project because the past couple films that you've directed and you've written as well, and were written, I think, was it the original stage play as well. What was it like working with someone else's material and guiding actors through, you know, such a dense screenplay that wasn't yours?
It was a privilege. You know, as an actor, I would, you know, approach scripts very differently. It's like, what does Beckett need? What does John Guare need? What does a MacGyver episode need? You know, it's like you tailor what you do as an actor to a script. I feel the same way as a director. A lot of my films are quite different style, but they have a similar humanity, a similar protagonist who's breaking out of a solitude. It's just a different style. You know, I wanted the directorial hand to be invisible in this case, as opposed to Hedwig, where the protagonist is the director in a way, which is more inspired by Bob Fosse. This is more inspired by Robert Redford and Robert Benton and Sidney Lumet and those masters of the 70s and 80s who were making quiet Hollywood family dramas, you know, that didn't, which Hollywood doesn't make anymore. You know, they've ceded smaller scale film to the independents, for better or worse, better in that there's less Hollywood interference with the process of filmmaking, but worse in that people's expectations of Hollywood have sort of cheapened into kind of a popcorn, you know. A lot of intelligent friends of mine go see Hollywood films because they don't think there's anything else, and the bar has lowered that people don't even expect to even like a film out of Hollywood. They hope to be diverted and distracted, but it's a surprise when a film is really moving now that comes out of Hollywood that isn't a Pixar film, you know, which is strange. So we're trying to, you know, go back to our roots a little bit with this film.
That's wonderful, and that's really what makes Rabbit Hole such a great fit for the Truly Moving Picture Award, because that's what it is. It is moving, and it is true as well. How did you guys manage to hit the right notes throughout the whole film? At any one step, you know, something could have been overly melodramatic or could have been maudlin, but you kept it in line the whole way. How did you manage to do that?
We had a lot of time in editing. We had a lot of variations in performance because my priority was getting more takes, more time with the actors on screen, doing variations, you know, doing extremely emotional takes on scenes, very subtle and restrained, because you never know what you'll need in editing. And generally, the subtler ones won out. If everybody's crying all the time and there's millions of violins playing, there's no variation. And when she finally breaks down, you know, we're already at 10, so how can you go to, you know, to 10 from 10? Our kind of internet-obsessed age has affected a lot of films in that they seem to go from climax to climax to climax. Television is like cliffhanger, 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 till you start to feel numb, you know. And I go back to the well-made film of another era where you have to take your time before you rise to a climax, and then you come back down, and then you plateau, and then, you know, it may seem old-fashioned, but to me, you have to take it back down to zero in order to feel the acceleration up to 60. And if everybody is at the speed limit already or just over it, you start to feel assaulted by the story, and you get sort of a false entertainment, and it's more of a just a kind of, you know, wall of sound or vision that doesn't interest me anymore.
Doing so many takes, that must have been quite a process in the editing room, because there are so many moments that where a small gesture or just a little motion or maybe a glance of the eyes conveys so much more than anything that a line of dialogue would be able to do. How hard was it for you finding the best of those moments?
That is the thing I enjoy most, is the subtlest movement of an actor, the few frames that change the scene, removing the frames, adding the frames. I was literally like, let's take one frame off of that. And, you know, a frame is a 24th of a second. That's the kind of stuff, the sort of sculptural diamond-cutting aspect of filmmaking that I love, and that's my favorite thing. I'd much rather do a film about the subtlest tick in a person's face under pressure than a million action movies that require, you know, 1,000 camera angles to blow something up. I admire those people who can do that, but to me, I have much more fun working with actors than with hardware.
Stay tuned for more from director John Cameron Mitchell.